Hello and welcome to the Infinite Potential Podcast. I'm your host, Beth Willis. In my role as a coach, I aim to inspire people to believe that the sky is the limit. In this podcast, I will provide information on mindset, fitness, and nutrition with amazing guests as we look to unlock your own infinite potential. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Infinite Potential Podcast. As always, I am your host Beth Willis and I'm going to dive straight in with today's title, and that is London Marathon and High Rocks 1 week apart. How did I prep and how am I feeling, basically? The longer version of the title there, but that is what we're really going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about a few curveballs that have come my way and how I've prepped to get where I am today, how I'm feeling about it, perhaps a little bit about why I'm running it as well. And this is more of a, I don't know, I guess you could call it, it feels somewhat slightly indulgent in a sense that I'm talking about my training and what I've done and things like that. And I'm always super keen to ensure that these podcasts are helpful, informative, motivational perhaps, supportive, encouraging, and leave you with either some knowledge you didn't know or a change in thought process, maybe a change in mindset. So I'm hoping that me opening up about a few things in terms of preparation, why I'm doing the challenges and how I feel going into them may help inspire or support you on your journey towards your goals over the coming weeks and months as you listen. So for context, it is 14:42 on Thursday the 20th of April 2023, and we are, if I just bring up the London Marathon app, I can really add some context as to us sitting here. We are 2 days, 18 hours, 7 minutes and 16 seconds away from the start of London Marathon 2023. Arguably the most recognised, well-known and famous marathon, I think, across the world. The only marathon I have ever wanted to do, and that is a key reason as to why I'm sat here. And we are also now not too far away from the 1st of May, which is London High Rocks at the Kensington Olympia. So two massive challenges, a week apart, and they are looming very, very close. And the first thing to get off my chest, and I wish I could get it off my chest, is the horrendous cold that has plagued the last 5 days of my life. And going to provide some context to this podcast, which, you know, I'm not going to go on too long, but it's going to add a human element. It's going to add an element whereby for anyone that does think either I'm wired differently or whatever it may be, that I am human, these things happen, and these exact same thought processes that you go through, I go through, and I have battled mentally, I would say, this week with the two looming challenges and how I feel physically and physiologically going into them. And it's been a real, real head mess getting into this cold. So if I sneeze or sound in any way, audio sounds a bit off, it's because my own audio is off. I've got a lovely kind of croaky throat, and sometimes my breath is kind of escaping me. So that has plagued what I would say has been the build-up into the London Marathon. But let's go back and circle back to kind of training, how I approached it and how I think you could approach having set a really big goal, for example, as I did when I set out to complete the London Marathon and then compete in High Rocks a week apart. So I think goals are really important. I think the art of goal setting is lost, sadly, sometimes. You know, self-drive, self-discipline. I think that goals play an important part in structuring your year, structuring what you want to achieve, and also allow you to take a step back and look at processes, the processes that you follow to get towards the goal, and see what you're capable of doing. I think that without a goal, we're merely kind of just putting one foot in front of the other, almost without a sat-nav. You know, we're just heading into a direction and hoping we figure something out along the way, which, you know, at some points in life, maybe there is no problem with that at all. But I come from a background of professional sport. I come from a military background as well. And goals are important. Times, deadlines, plans, and challenging yourself and making sure that the goal is big enough to scare you into action, not too small that it scares you into inaction, but also not too big that it scares you into inaction as well. And that's perhaps why I stapled the two back to back. Having done a lot of training a couple of years ago for RBL 100 and then having a spanner in the works for that one as well, a couple of weeks out with my medial meniscus tear, I did a lot of running, and I know that I can run this distance, and I have done before. I've never ran an official marathon, which we'll come to in a bit, but I have trained to marathon distance and beyond. So when it was about setting London, it was about, for me, it was about really closing a door, and challenging myself to close a door and move forward with my life, which I know sounds quite dramatic. And then piggybacking HYROX on the back of it. HYROX has become the newest, shall we call it, like, newest love? That sounds really, really soft and funny, doesn't it? But newest love, I guess, in my life. I love the challenge of it. I love the program design of it. I love the atmosphere. It takes me back into that kind of professional sport type feeling. The nerves, the excitement, the adrenaline, the challenge. So to be able to recover from the marathon and then go into my first pairs HYROX with Sam is incredibly exciting, and a challenge that literally kind of had me standing up, both hands up. That's what I want to do. That's me. That's a bit of me. I'm going to go and do it. So how do you find the time to train for these big goals? How do you know it's right? Well, for example, when it came to me setting this goal, I spoke to those closest to me, for example, family, obviously Sam, and kind of said, is this doable time-wise? Have I got the time? Can we fit it around work? Can my body do it? Can I do it? And obviously the answer to all of those was yes. Sometimes it was yes, but we need to consider X. One of the things you need to consider with big goals is, depending on your starting point and where the goal is, the amount of time that training is going to require. And that's kind of, you know, that benchmark minimum effective dose training. How much time is that going to take? Does it look like 10 hours a week? Does it look like 15 hours a week? Does it look like 20 plus hours a week worth of training? And for everyone listening to this, that's probably on top of a full-time job, and, you know, family, loved ones, commitments, etc., outside of work. And is that a commitment that you can put in place for X amount of time that you need to in order to prepare for the endeavour, for the challenge? So, excuse me, I knew that all of this year would be put aside for training for the marathon, getting the mileage back up. I knew that January I'd have to have an element of flexibility because the retreat is a bigger and more important goal at the time, and running the business in January, it was, you know, one of our busiest times as well. So January was about just getting back into you know, regular runs, 2-3 runs a week minimum, and ticking over with, you know, some strength sessions, 1-2. So anywhere between 3 and 5 sessions minimum a week in January, clearing the mind, but also making sure I could balance the prep for the retreat. And I know coming out of the retreat that it was kind of all systems go. So I had the plan written, I wrote my own program. I don't always do that. Sometimes I invest in a coach for myself as well, somebody that's emotionally removed from the situation, can be objective, can tell me actually loading, etc., rather than me thinking about what I think I can do from my own perspective, which is obviously what myself and Sam do for a lot of you guys that are listening to this. We provide that support structure, accountability, knowledge, expertise in the plan. We help, if anything, write the plan, we create the plan, and then we help see you through it. So I did that for our HYROX training and for the marathon. So wrote the programming for our pairs work for HYROX that ran simultaneously alongside my marathon training. And it went really well, I would say, through February, through March, distances got up, my knee was stable, my back was stable, interventions there involved things like the ice bath, stretching, mobility, and regular physio and sports massage, one of each a month at least, just to make sure that there was no pelvic and lower back flare-ups, and that my knee from obviously RBL 100 and the scans that I had on it was coping. So training was good. Again, it was about how much time can I take from 60, 70, sometimes 80-hour working week within the business. How much time can I pull out of that to put into my own training without the business being affected at a time that has been really important for us? There's been a lot going on in the background, which may, you know, start to be unveiled over the coming weeks. So there's been a large proportion of our time that's had to stay focused in the business outside of coaching hours. Coaching hours are busy and near on at capacity. And then I knew I needed probably 10 to 15 hours of training a week. So it was programming it all in. And the thing that has probably taken the hit has been my social life and anything that I do outside of work and training, which has been very minimal. And that is something that you may have to consider. So if you're setting your own big, scary enough goal that it drives you into a lot of positive action, there is only so much time on your hands. And that is the one thing that I want this podcast to showcase the most. It's that we all only have 24 hours in a day. And it's not sometimes a case of I didn't get time. It's that it just wasn't a priority at the moment, or isn't a priority at the moment. And you have to accept that. You have to talk yourself through that. You have to talk to the people around you and let them know, this is what I'm about to do. Your support would be greatly appreciated. This is likelihood of what it's going to do to, you know, change my life over the coming 2, 3, 4 months as I plan for my X big goal. And, you know, it'll be easier if everyone is on board. And then at the end, we can all, you know, have a laugh, catch up, etc. That's not to say you know, you don't see anyone for the entirety of your challenges. But it's being aware you only have a certain amount of time on your hands. And if the challenge is really important to you, it will naturally fall higher on your priority list. And having good, positive conversations with people just makes that a lot easier. And then it doesn't, if you're like me and you care deeply about what people think, sometimes to the detriment of your own kind of mental headspace, then it's a positive conversation to have so that everything's out on the table and you can prioritise what you need to for yourself without any guilt associated with it. So that, I think, is the biggest take home I want anyone to take from this podcast. It's as you set up that big goal and bring yourself into, let's call it kind of action mode, ready to go forwards, it's important to understand the time implications and speak to your coach, speak to me, speak to Sam, speak to whoever you work with and understand, okay, how does this change my life? Am I ready for that change? Am I disciplined for that change? Not motivated, disciplined for it. And then can I follow a plan of action, not perfectly, but say 80% of the time to get me as prepared as possible to attack the goal. And that's where, for those of you that wanted me to record this podcast, that's where I felt up until about a week ago. I felt slightly underprepared for both, which didn't worry me in the slightest because If I'd have felt fully prepared for the marathon, I'd have probably felt more underprepared than for High Rocks. And if I'd felt fully prepared for High Rocks, I would have certainly felt underprepared for the marathon. Whereas I feel like about a week ago that I felt in quite a good place for both. And High Rocks training had been going really, really well. Heavier weights than High Rocks were moving with ease. The K splits were running really, really well. And we were, you know, starting to discuss strategy, etc., and really look forward to the event. Nothing was coming up really niggle-wise other than my knee, which played up on 18-miler. But I spoke to my physio and we spoke through how the pain developed, when it developed, and where I was running at that point and what that meant for the stability and structure within the knee. And it all kind of made sense and it settled itself down relatively quickly. It's just so happened that the few days that I was careful of running and didn't run whilst the knee settled, as they came to an end, this cold then developed. So as it stands, going into the marathon on Sunday, I haven't ran for the last 3 weeks, it will be, just shy of 3 weeks going into it. Now, that wasn't what I had planned. It's what you would call an aggressive taper. And for those of you that don't know what a taper is, you would build up to an event like a marathon, for example, and you'd do your furthest run probably 3 weeks out, maybe. And then you'd start to naturally bring those distances down, specifically tapering towards the week of the event, where you really pull back any intensity, pull back those distances, let your body recover. The work is done. There's no work that you can do that week that's going to make you any fitter for the end result. So it's about recovery, it's about fueling, and then it's about your big victory lap, which is the event that you've trained so hard for, is in its sense your victory lap, because it's you acknowledging all of the work, the hard work, the hours, the potential solitude. You know, for example, marathon training is long and it's lonely. It's long runs, it's hours of running on your own, maybe just with headphones in, maybe with nothing in, depending on what floats your boat that way. So I've ended up in what I would call a aggressive taper, from a long run into nothing. And yeah, up until last week, I'd have said, you know what, I'm feeling quietly confident about both. And timings wise, I was starting to consider, looking at the numbers, looking at the data, that actually, yes, I was going to be on for a sub 4 hour marathon, which is, I think, a brilliant achievement. Any marathon is a brilliant achievement. For me, that was what I was starting to look at from a data and kind of what drives me kind of point of view. And you were talking somewhere around an 8:45, 8:50 minute mile held for all 26.2, which I was holding. And then obviously this cold has come in. So the cold went straight to my chest, nasty cough. And now it's sat in my head and I'm attempting to clear it rapidly ahead of Sunday. That leaves me with the mental battle of focusing on enjoying the moment, focusing on enjoying actually what this run means for me. So in getting swept away with how well the training was going, the initial reason to run, to apply for the London Marathon was because I could again. When I injured my back in 2015 and was going through all the rehab processes, the one thing that stood out was, you're no longer required by the British military, you're going to get medically discharged, we strongly suggest you focus on living with chronic pain and, you know, things like running, etc., just leave it, there's no point. If you can manage the pain day to day, then that's about your lot, good luck. Thanks for your service and we'll see you later. And that affected me. I mean, you can go back to some past podcasts where I have on the odd occasion been very open and honest about my experiences with, say, mental health. And I think that as the training developed and as I saw so much of my running feeling natural again, and feeling confident that I can use and move my body, specifically my back and pelvis, without causing any extra pain, I started to then look at the times and could see, okay, like this could be the perfect door that I can close and leave the chapter behind. And what I'm going to spend the next few days doing, and what I strongly suggest as another takeaway from this podcast, is that you all remember your reason why you're doing something. I didn't apply for the London Marathon because I wanted a sub 4-hour marathon. I applied for the London Marathon because I wanted to close a door that didn't sadly get quite closed in RBL 100, albeit others may disagree, but it didn't for me quite get closed, and I wanted to close that door for me, hence why I'm not running for a charity, I'm running for me, which is hard to say, and I constantly feel like I have to explain that decision when I get asked, whether it's an insecurity of my own, which I think it is, transparently I think it is my own insecurity, that I am running the marathon for me. I'm running the marathon to prove to myself that I can. It's amazing what people can say to you and how it affects you and how it stays with you. Now, those are some of the words that I remembered as I was in a dark place considering, you know, ending my own life back in 2016. And those words have stayed with me ever since. And this marathon, this run, is my way of saying, do you know what, I've come through that pain. I've spent a lot of money on support from professionals to get through that pain. I have put my life and soul into the last 6 years of running Infinite Potential Fitness to ensure that other people don't end up in that pain and feel that they can do anything they want to do, they choose to do with their body, and they feel supported by the people around them to do just that. And that's my reason for running. That's my reason for running without a charity, because I guess in a way it's a very personal reason. It's to do my very best, and I do think it will, to close a door to a chapter of my life that was incredibly challenging, and to step forwards through that door. So it's not a closed door to nowhere. It's closing that door and walking forwards, you know, looking forwards, not looking back, and leaving those words behind, leaving the words of just, you know, live with chronic pain, don't worry about running, you know, you are now useless by all intents and purposes for the career and what you had done before, the body that you'd relied on from the age of 10 through years of professional sport and the military had failed you, and there was no coming back from that. But actually this weekend isn't about sub 4. And it isn't about those words. It's about me running for me. And that's exactly the third takeaway point from this podcast. When you set your goals and people ask you why, a good coach, and I think that we're very good at this, is should ask you why more than once. And it won't be the first answer why, you know, I want to run a sub 4-hour marathon. It won't be the second answer why, because London is one of my favourite cities and London Marathon is the only marathon I've ever wanted to run in my entire life. Okay, well, why? Because I want to run for me, to close a door, to remove the language that has kind of haunted me for years, and to look forwards and no longer look back at that period of my life, instead look forwards at what my new and improved body can do now. And I want to instill all of that motivation through this podcast to you guys to top up the challenge. Yes, a week after it, me and Sam are taking on High Rocks Pairs for the first time, which I am so excited about and can't wait to experience High Rocks with somebody else, because so much of the two High Rocks that I've done and marathon training is lonely. You know, you're on your own, you're working hard, and there's no one to share it with. And I'm really proud and really excited about the group of people that are coming to watch the marathon, really excited about how many people are saying they're going to track, and really excited to see the whole experience unfold and be part of history and then follow that by being part of what is a new and evolving sport and race that I think will take the fitness industry, or continue to take the fitness industry, by storm. And I'm very proud to be going there with also four of our clients, four of our team. So if you listen to this podcast, I didn't want it to come across as self-indulgent, but we put out there, do you want a podcast on how the prep has gone, how I'm feeling, and why I'm doing these challenges back to back. The prep has gone really well, barring a knee niggle and this cold. The cold has mentally tested me, and is mentally testing me, and has led to me to sit and think about why again. And the deep third, fourth question as to why is because I'm doing these two challenges for me, and for me to be able to close a door, step through that door and walk forwards away from it, which is a really powerful intrinsic motivator, and one that I think will lead me probably quite emotional towards the end, but one that I think it's important when you set your own goals that they are big enough and scary enough to scare you into the right level of action. You look at what that action requires: time, dedication, equipment, finances. You put all of those things in place, and then you remember your reason why, and you make sure that your why is intrinsic to you, so internal to you, and that's the main driver. Because when times get hard, when you question whether you want to, whether you question if you want to train, whether you question if you want to eat the food, etc., whatever it is, pay for the thing that you need to pay for, physio, massage, etc., when those questions come up, and they will along the journey, it's a nice shiny medal at the end of it is all well and good, but that won't get you out on a cold dark night, that won't get you up on a cold morning, that won't lead you to be disciplined week in, week out to achieve that goal. A really deep and important and meaningful reason why internally is what will get you up and out of bed and get you chasing those 5Ks. It doesn't have to be a marathon, those half marathons, those Hyroxes, those joining of a boot camp, going to the gym for the first time, marathons, ultra marathons, cycling, swimming, whatever it is. Make sure that you've got something for the rest of the year. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, then please do take the time to rate and review if you're on Apple Podcasts, and maybe jump out, share it on social media if anybody wants to kind of share this message and share how important it is to reflect on your goals. Please do share this podcast. Other than that, I'm going to leave it here. And in a couple of weeks' time, I'll be back and I'll let you know exactly what I thought of the London Marathon, how it went and how Hyrox pairs went. And from there, we'll get back into regular, informative and supportive podcasts with some awesome guests. For now, thank you everyone for the well wishes. A couple of days to clear this cold and a couple of days to keep on remembering why I'm doing it. And that's it from me. Take care.